Welcome back to the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake. Woo! High energy,
Woohoo!
high energy.
I know. Wake up. What is it, like 7 o'clock at night on a Wednesday? Blistering hot summer here in the UK. That's
Oh,
a joke.
yes.
What episode are we on,
Blistering.
Jake?
Episode 24.
Oh, we're on the 6 month deadline in a fortnight.
Six
Deadline?
month
Six
deadline
month
in a
Not
fortnight.
deadline, 6 months, what's the thing? 6 month anniversary.
Anniversary. It's
It's strange.
exciting.
It feels like we've it feels brand new to me, but it feels like we've been doing this for the last 10 years at the same time.
Yeah, it's nice. It's comfortable. So let's shake it up.
Yeah.
We're getting a new host.
No, we're not. We're not. We're not.
We're auditioning for a new host.
It's an
Look, it's
AI
kicking me
host.
out. Yeah, an AI host. Oh, an AI version of Houdini.
And the host, his name's the Bastard. I'm here. How's your week, man? You've been on a creative tear.
Yeah, I've had a creative prolapse. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think I've sent you way too many notes about ideas.
Was funny the other day. You said, I can't remember what I was. Oh, I'm here all day to chat. And you said, and you say, oh, good, because I've got some ideas and I'll send it away, or something along those lines. Like, yeah, send them over right now. I'll read them right now. You started typing, and then something, I can't remember what, I think I got called into like some sort of a meeting, but my day went from 0 to 100, like on the flick of a switch. And then it was about midnight at night. I was just, or like 11 o'clock, I was in bed. And can you please text back and put me out of my misery about these ideas? And I fucking looked through my phone, and fair play to you, you'd written like 300 word essays on each one, and these amazing ideas, and I just felt like I left you hanging. So I apologize so badly for that. There's nothing worse than sharing your ideas that you're vulnerable, you're in your little fetal position as you press the send button, and you have like little, you just and then no one replies.
Oh, dude, it was the
It's
worst. It was the
torturous.
worst. It was the whole, oh my God, yeah, I'm so excited to hear them. Let's talk right now. And then just no reply.
Yeah, go. It's like it's the go it's ghosting for nerds. You
Yeah. It was
know
just like, well, I guess I'm leaving Magic then.
what I mean? Yeah, I'm gone. No one likes me anymore. But dude, like, I mean, obviously, we're not going to talk about all the ideas because they were some of them are top secret for now. But can you like share the elixir, the secret? What? Where was your head at? What was it about that day or this week that shifted your flow state?
I honestly don't know. I think it's just sometimes for me, it's just desperation to like be doing something. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really enjoy my day job. I don't think many people enjoy their day job, and it's been getting me down super badly lately. So it's just a bit of an escape. And I think, I don't know. You know, the way you have like kind of a survivor response, or people when they go through like a traumatic experience will sometimes black out the like you know the bad times in their life. I think it's just like a natural like a natural little button goes in my head, a switch flips, and I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna have to like come up with some cool stuff because I can't be arsed thinking about how boring shit work is.
Do you know what? It's before, yeah, I was going to bring this up about an old thing that I did. I put out a trick. I won't mention what it is because well, it's pretty embarrassing. But well, it's not embarrassing the trick too well. But my mum had a brain hemorrhage about 12 years ago. She had two brain surgeries. Her heart stopped beating. She keeled over at a desk at work, and they had to resuscitate her. She had to have two brain surgeries and everything. And I was. It's only me and her, but I don't have a dad or anything. And so I was out of work at the time, and we had bills to pay. We rented when I lived with her, and it was winter time. And yeah, I had to find a way to, I had to care for her in the house, not like bath her, but I had to be at home 24/7 in case she had another brain hemorrhage. So I couldn't go out to work. It was literally not an option. I was a full-time carer. But I had to also make money to pay the bills. Because once she was having a brain hemorrhage, once you got those surgeries, the heating in the house broke and all the pipes froze up over winter, and I couldn't even afford to have them fixed until she came out. We were really broke. So at the time, I created a trick purely to sell it. Not purely to sell it. But I created it to help fund like her recovery, like what we were going through at the time. And I put it out. It did really well. It actually, like, I'd say raised as opposed to like made, because the money wasn't for me to buy a fancy car or like go on holiday. It was to put the fucking heating on at Christmas time. And yeah, so I like created it out of absolute desperation, like that, like you said, like that flight or fight or flight instinct kicked in. And I if you saying that, like I resonate so strongly with that.
Yeah, dude. But before we started recording this, we accidentally had another hour-long chat, just like unloading on each other, not in that way, about our week. And we ended up going into a conversation a little bit similar to what you've just said, to do with, things that you do to get through events in the past and stuff like that. And whenever anything like that comes up, it has always just been knuckle down and like make something. Even if it's, I mean, well, in the past, I definitely have embarked on little campaigns where I've been like, okay, I need to have some kind of a scheme to make this amount of money in this much time. And it's always just been like
It's
sitting at the desk.
that almost that like oftentimes deadlines are arbitrary, but when the end when there's real what's the word? Consequences of not hitting this a deadline, it does throw up. And saying, you know what, I asked you really, I said before this started, I said to you, did you have a hangover this week? Remember that?
Yeah.
And because I for me it used to be like the I would create like a absolute tornado when I was alone. You know what it was? I don't drink anymore. I'm 2 years sober in 2 days. But I would, if I sometimes I would go and get drunk purely to wake up with a hangover, knowing that like I was going to create something, in my own opinion, which was brilliant. Not like most people think it's shit, but something that I would love. And I could almost rely on that like clockwork. And when I quit drinking, it was the one thing apart from health that I was concerned about losing with that. But looking at it as a whole, like create like at least for me, like the whole Tutorial Tuesday. Up until recently, almost every single one of them was created from scratch on the day and done. A lot of like a lot of the stuff that I create, I seem to fare better when. Let me put it this way. If I'm having the best day ever, I'm just chill, there's nothing going on, I'm probably not going to be able to create good magic that day.
Yeah.
Or if I do create, it won't be my best work. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Unless it's a day where the day is good because you started off on the right foot creating, because I've had days like that too.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Where, maybe the day was destined to be a shit one, but I started off and got myself in a good mood and carried on. There are a lot of variables, isn't there? I mean, I think we've both talked about it in the past, working quite well to a deadline. And so recently, I've kind of been writing something for you, and because you haven't given me a deadline, I just keep going, "Oh yeah, I'll be done with that soon. Hey, I'll get that sorted soon." Whereas I think if you'd said to me, "Like I need this in 2 days," it'd be like, "Yes, and it's done." And when you are in situations in your life where like things aren't maybe aren't going as well, it kind of feels like every single day is a deadline for something. So it does kind of change my mindset a little bit.
I watched a documentary. If you haven't seen it, fucking phenomenal. It's called Man on Wire with Philippe Petit, the tightrope walker.
So good. The most pointless cinematic version ever.
Yeah, who's in this? Don't there's a cinema. Is it called the same name, Man on Wire?
Possibly.
Don't watch the film. Do not watch the film. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in, I think.
Yeah, he's good in it, but
The
watch the documentary.
documentary is from a different planet. Good. In a nutshell, a tightrope walker who happens to be a magician, called Philippe Petit, and there's actually a clip of him performing magic with Blaine on the streets. He actually helps Blaine enhance a trick in a way, like he pretends that he, I don't know. Anyway, the whole documentary is not just what this guy did. He was the guy that broke into the Twin Towers before the 9/11, and he broke in and he created a tightrope between the two towers, and he tightrope walked them without a harness. That's the story of that's the basic story of it. What the documentary is really about is like, it's just so much more than that, right? And I'm getting somewhere with this, I promise you. There's so much cool stuff about the documentary, but the one thing that he said in that documentary, which I absolutely fucking love, is that he would climb lampposts all his life, so that he could look at the so his surroundings from a different viewpoint than everyone else. And that was like the hugest thing that I took away from that documentary, just looked like a creative, or I'd like to think myself slightly creative as a person, was just like doing something that gives you a different, a quite literal. I know often like people say, oh, I look at it differently, but I mean like literally look at something differently. I remember like a lot of the tricks that I would create that would go on to be like the best sellers, or a lot of the tricks that I would create for other people to put into like Kickstarter campaigns and stuff, with like a massive percentage of them were created on flights back and forth to the US. And I used to write, I think I've written it down somewhere. I spoke about it on one of these projects, and I would attribute it to like I was literally looking at the Earth from a different perspective. And also, I was doing something impossible. I was flying. Like, it's made possible by science, and I understand how it works. But to a caveman, to any man, woman, or beast born before the Wright brothers, that was a miracle. I was literally doing something, you know, it's real magic. It is real magic. We just understand how that works. And I used to think, like, because my head was in that space and my viewpoint was literally different, it would allow me to think differently. And yeah, there's something about, I don't know, take from that what you will. Maybe the next time you create, go and do it in a room of the house you've never sat down to create. Go and sit on your kitchen floor if you have to, and take all your card stuff with you and look at everything that's around you. Sit on your stairs and create a mind. Go outside, find a fucking lamppost like Philippe Petit. Have a look. Take your notebook. Write down ideas.
It's 100% true. I think a lot of creativity comes from transition, whether it's a transitional space like a train carriage or sitting in the park, or a transition personally where, you know, I've just broke up with the girl of my dreams and I'm gonna go do this. A lot of creativity comes just from transitions for some reason. But that it's a great documentary. The guy as well, Philippe Petit, comes out with these amazing lines all the way through it, where he's just, you know, oh, life should be lived on the edge of life. You have to be a rebel. You're going to live on the tightrope. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's a living, breathing, he's a living, breathing inspiration. I just realized, by the way, I think the intro didn't start with any sound, by the way.
No, I was trying to signal you throughout, but you were just dancing.
Okay. Well, okay. We can fix that. We can fix that both. We can fix that both. Anyway, yeah, Philippe Petit, fascinating guy, also an amateur magician. It's one of those documentaries that it's bigger, it's grander, it gives off more than just the story of a man walking a tightrope.
Yeah, no, the documentaries just do something special to me. That I get so attached to them. I was telling you about one the other day called the Barkley Marathons, the race that eats its young.
I've watched it twice. I've watched it
Really?
twice, and yeah, I watched the Gary Robbins
Yeah.
documentaries following on from it on YouTube, and I
Yeah.
watched a couple of others on it. Yeah, I watched it at night, and then Kaylee was asleep, and then I watched it. I told Kaylee about it, and we watched it the following night. And so Kaylee can't stay awake past, I don't know, 8:30 every night because the baby, right? She's like, because she's the number one carer for him. So 8:30, 9 o'clock, she's out cold, so next to me on the sofa, religiously, like clockwork every night. And I know if we watch something good or do something good, because she's awake, and she stayed up and watched the whole thing, man. Dude, the Barkley Marathons. What? What?
I told you, didn't I? Inexplicably, I've watched that about 17 times. I don't know what it is about it.
For anyone wondering what that is, it's an ultra marathon. It's a documentary about an ultra marathon. Ultra marathons are any type of marathon that have run over 20, over above 26 miles, 26.1 miles, some shit. And but the Barkley Marathons are slightly different. It was just created by this guy and his team of friends. They live out in the woods of Tennessee,
Lazarus Lake.
Lazarus Lake. Yeah, it's kind of got like the whole thing is magic in a way. It's got like
Yeah.
characters, like real characters, they have to run underneath a prison at one point in the marathon. Nobody actually knows the true size of the route to the marathon. They just kind of make it up, but it's approximately 130 miles long in 3 days. There's all these weird rules. There's no checkpoints for the marathon. There's not actually a route. They can't have it. They don't have to find route. There's no GPS. The only way they find their way around this 130 mile marathon is by they get given a number, like number 19. They find a book at a checkpoint and they take page 19 out and they find like 10 of these books and they do a lap, right? So laps of this thing. So like 3 laps, 27 miles. And then they change the number every route. It's crazy. And it's an actual great exercise in creative thinking, the way they approach the marathon, like nothing you've ever seen before. Hardest marathon on earth, I think, probably the hardest marathon on earth. Only, in 50 years, only 15 people have ever completed it,
Something along those lines,
I
yeah.
think it's 15 at the minute currently. In 50 years, in 1960 it started. Was it 1960 or 1980? One of the like even 80s or 60s, or 60s.
Time is an
Anyway,
abstract construct. It doesn't matter.
yeah, they don't even know the fucking size of the route, let alone what year they created it, I think, from the sound of it. But yeah. It's an exercise in itself, and just like how to look at something which everyone knows, right? A marathon, you run from A to B over a certain period of time, over a certain distance. And then this guy just kind of went, fuck it. This is what I want to do. And it makes it follow, it's a story. The whole thing is a story now.
And the one you mentioned, I can't remember the guy's name, but he does make YouTube videos and he's made a few follow-up documentaries. He's great.
Gary Robbins.
I think that is it the guy, the ginger guy with the beard, or is there a different
Yeah,
guy?
called the Ginger Runner, I think his name is, something like that.
Yeah.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I think anything like this, these type of documentaries are always good for creativity, just when, especially when it's something like marathon running, right? Like racing is such a linear concept, right? For just to the average person, I'm sure the people who are in marathon, ultra marathon running, and listening to this thing, like, shut the fuck up. But to the uninitiated, I mean, I do running, right? Me and you both run. The uninitiated, a marathon's a linear concept. You start here, you finish here, set distance or laps under a certain time you aim for. And to take something which is like 30, I'm 35 in 5 days. Something I've considered all my life, I understood, for somebody to just completely make new of it was inspiring.
You know, he's done other strange races as well. He's created other
Yeah,
strange races.
the backyard 10K, the backyard, what is it, the backyard 6 miles, I think, or backyard run.
Is that the one where they run a certain amount every hour on the hour? And then how, so
6K every
however
hour,
fast
that was it.
you do it, that's a, the leftover time is how long you get to rest in between
Yeah.
each go at it. And it's just the last person standing.
Yeah, so 200 people, you have to run only 4 miles, which is easy to do in an hour. But you do that 4 miles on the hour, every hour, or whatever it is, for days until only one person left. And there's only a winner. That's it, sort of thing. But like I love things like that. Because even if you take it to like something basic, so if you transfer it to car trip, right? They're 99% of the time just linear. And we've spoken about this in other episodes, which is something like I'm not the first to bring upon this, but like almost every trick is take a card, find it in one way, in whatever way. I can't remember the first place I read this, but like someone said, no, I don't want to misquote where I think I hear it from. But like, why does a triumph have to pick a card element? The trick is that the cards all correct themselves. Why are you shoehorning in? Like, and I found your card. Yeah. It's almost like that, and I found your card. That's why tricks like Las Vegas Looper, even like Two Card Monty, Triumph without the card being chosen. I'm just talking like this is just about playing cards, right? I always love to, if I'm gonna do a set of tricks, a set of card tricks, for example, I love to make them have differences as opposed to it's gonna change into your card, or and then I found your card. You know, because
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
overall, that blurry memory where they walk away and try to regale what happened, all the tricks will merge into one.
Are you going to remember A to B, or are you going to remember A where you had to go up a mountain, round a lake, up in a spaceship to get to the moon to be.
Into the cards. Well, he did this one where all the cards mixed them turned up the right way. I had this other one where like the cards just it just kept growing more and more cards in my hand. I had another one, and maybe he could put one trick in there where it's then he found my card. But if it's just like I don't know, I think this is why I don't often do ATR, ambitious card routine, because it's an amazing trick, don't get me wrong, and it's a great warm-up trick and it sort of establishes you as a magician, but there's something about that inherent nature of turning that card over on the top. Like a boom, there's your card. Boom, it's back on top. It's that repetitive notion of finding their card almost. That like that snapshot boomerang for Instagram, that snapshot of and then there's your card. And then there's your card. Even though the trick is that it's appearing on top or changing and appearing up, it's still that whole and then I found your card, or oh, I found your card here, or your card is back here. And I think like if you infuse that with a multiple card finder, which I know people love that trick, and then you do another card trick where it's found, and then you do a card in their hand, kind of all the same trick. They're not. I know they're not the same trick, and the connoisseurs of magic will absolutely be able to tell the difference. But to a lay, it's like Wayne Houchen talks about how when and he uses it to his advantage when he does the thread effect, thread from eyes. And then he does the single needle trick where he swallows thread and a needle and pulls it out, and the needle's threaded on thread. His audience will misremember and think he thread swallowed the needle, threaded the thread through his eye, and pull it out of his mouth threaded or something. They mix the areas together. You can use that to your advantage, but it's a bit of proof of concept that even when something is quite obviously two different things, because card tricks are hard to sort of remember anyway. When if they're mixing something quite distinctly different together. Then they're even if they're too polite to say it to you, they are definitely mixing your similar card tricks together, which I don't think is a good thing.
I don't know. I have a very strange ethos around stuff that does very often change, and at certain times I'll have a huge amount of respect for a traditional trick, and it's all I want to focus on. And then sometimes I just think, I don't care. I remember there was a girl I was seeing about 6 years ago, maybe. And we'd been on a few dates, and I was sitting around hers, and I kind of broached the subject about enjoying magic because I used to keep it a little bit more of a secret. But I broached the subject and started showing her some stuff. And it was literally just the most boring, ambitious card stuff ever. Just laying on the couch, relaxing, put your card back in. Well, it's still at the top. Okay, we'll put it back in here. Oh, it's still at the top. And she was just like, huh. It's not very fun though, is it? I was like,
Yeah,
no,
no.
it's not very fun. And then a couple of days later, I was round there again, and I was reaching across onto the table to grab something, and there was a paper cup, like a plastic cup. And whilst I was reaching over, there must have been a draft or something because the cup just slid across the table. And kind of jokingly, without thinking, I went like that with I moved my hand as if it was me who'd done it, just like spare of the moment.
Like
And she was,
invisibly, in
yeah,
case.
like as if I'd been the one to move it. And because my hand was already reaching over there anyway, she like went, "What? How did you do that?" I was like, "I'm not telling you, it's magic, obviously." And then she would still bring that up a couple of months later, but never once said, "Oh, you know when the card went back to the top of the deck?" And for some reason, it's just little things like that where I think, yeah, it's not very fun though, is it?
Yeah. This link. There is something to be said about oh, there's so much I want to talk about this subject, but there's like a lot of it's to do with framing as well, isn't it? So, like Gabby Pereiras, who's no longer with us, he does a like a trick, and it's based off of is it Steve Drawn Back in Time trick? I think it is. Where basically it's a card transposition. One card's placed in the deck. So let's say Ace of Spades is placed into the center of the deck. And the Queen of Hearts is on top. And then you say, we're going to go back in time. So the ace is squared in. You turn the Queen over and you leave it out jogged in the middle. You go back in time, essentially, magically. Now you turn over the top card and it's back to the Queen of Hearts, or whatever it was. And you display the out jogged card and it's back to the Ace of Spades. I think it's called Back in Time or something like that. And Gabby presents it, and there's a video on his Instagram as he talks about like giving somebody, he has like actual kind of a half funny story to it. But he's all about like what's the most precious thing you can give somebody is a moment of their time back. And he frames it as I'm going to give you a moment back in time. So instead of it just being a two-car transport, you'd actually like taking somebody back in time. So even if you were to, if you were going to do an ambitious card, if you do one phase, maybe they sign the card on top of the deck. And instead of you being like, look, oops, like you're saying how you just like very nonchalant, like, oh, and now it's back on top. And now it's back on top. If you were to frame that as like, okay, I'm going to show you something. But this is actually, this takes a lot out of me. This does drain me a little bit. And I want to show you something which I think is very special, and I don't think you can forget it. So you've got one card face up on top, right? They find the name, and it's just, and you say, like, just we. I need you to know that this is real. You very carefully turn that card over, place it into the middle of the deck, let them push it all the way in. Maybe if you want to, you can show it's not on top. But you do everything like super slowly, super carefully. Now maybe you stand back. You have them hold their hands out. You touch fingers. Now touch hands together. And now maybe you talk about, I'm going to take you back in time just a few moments. And I want you to understand, give this big spiel about it, right? And all I'm doing is a double lift. Double lift, ambitious card, one phase. You could even enhance it by using like the timeline app by Patrick Kuhn, built by Mark Kirstein. So they can see the time going back on your phone. You don't even have to use the app. You could literally show them a screenshot a minute ahead of time and then lock your phone. And when you open it, it'll go back 2 minutes or something, right? So it's not a visual trick. Yeah, so you can just be like that. So he's like, look, I'm gonna sh if you know their phone, for example, if you know their phone's in their pocket, you say, like, what time is it? You open up your phone, you say, oh, it's 7:24. Let's do this. Now you hold hands together, you talk about going back in time or giving somebody I'm gonna give you something which nobody's ever gonna give you before and will never be able to give you again, blah 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 blah. Re go over the parameters, the card you signed in the middle of the deck. Let's go back to when it was on top 2 minutes ago. And then you turn it over. Now it's back on top. And then you wait for them to check the time. Boom, it's 2 minutes back. And that's one phase ambitious card, but the framing of it is huge. Okay, that framing could be done on stage big, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%. Like, and any kind of, well, that's what I mean with about like my opinion always changing as well. And also, my opinion comes with the caveat that I'm talking about an ambitious card that I did at that moment in time where it wasn't very
Yeah.
good and it wasn't very fun. But then, a couple of years later, I had this routine that was to do with Rorschach ink blots. And it was a blank deck of cards, but where one of them had been splattered by ink. And I used to
Nice.
do ambitious card and stuff with that. And it was this whole routine where people said, can you show us the ink spot trick again? And it wasn't the card that comes back to the top of the deck trick. It was this ink spot trick.
Oh, wow.
So it's always just at that period, that ambitious card was shit.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, if you go into it that way, if you took a blank like we think so linearly, right? This is the thing, we think so in such a straight line. Like, if you could do magic and go back in time, you wouldn't do a card trick. You wouldn't do a card trick. You would probably, I don't even. Now, depends on brand you want to think about it, right? Like you could be like, I'm gonna snap my fingers and we're now sitting at the bus stop you were at earlier. Or we're sitting up, how did you get here today? I took the train. Now you're back on the train. That is going back in time. That's absolutely fucking bonkers. Possible, some there's always a way to do
Oh,
something,
yeah.
right? But within the realms of performance and practicality, if you were, let's say you don't know magic tricks, but you can go back in time. You can go back in time 30 seconds. How would you demonstrate that? Would you pour somebody a cup of tea or coffee with milk? And when you finish talking, there's no longer any. You start by putting, right, maybe you're doing, oh, you're chatting to them in the kitchen, or you're sitting down, you've got a cup, mug of tea, right? Hot water and tea bag. For it, you start talking to them. I had the strangest thing. I woke up, I don't know, it sounds mental, but I was like, I kept going back in time. Whatever it is, some bullshit. As you're chatting, the teacups are there with the hot water and the tea bags hanging out for them. And then as you carry on the conversation, you fill up the milk and take the tea bags out, and you carry on conversing. And then you maybe you feel the floor rumble. Like maybe you, I don't know, you put like a vibrating motor on it. Oh my God, it's happening again, it's happening again. Oh, hold my hand, hold my hand, hold my hand. Like this, it's got to get louder. You're like, and then you're just like, anyway, so I woke up this morning and I was going back in time. It was the strangest thing. I can't really,
Yeah.
and you start just chatting normally, and then you reach over, you now there's no milk in the teacups, the tea bags are back in. That's kind of what you would sort of do if you didn't do magic tricks. Do you know what I mean?
Dude, that's spot on. You're 100% right. It is. It's always just the framing. But whenever it was, like 3 episodes ago, I was talking about a trick with a flipper coin. And if you do that, it's a trick with a flipper coin, but you could do it a different way where it seems like something entirely amazing has happened. It's always looking for those little things. And that's not to say that one is better than the other because tricks are amazing. I mean, but right before we started recording this, I was telling you about a magic effect I wanted to do that involved like a drinking game. And that's not, this ethereal experience, but it's still fun. But I've also told you about stuff where I want someone to feel that they've visited an astral plane and you've taken a word from their head. It's all of it, isn't it? It's all just framing.
It's all time and place and framing, right? Yeah, I remember I did the last wedding I went to, for example. I had a Sharpie pen with a six of clubs reveal on it, some last fans. I think I had an army deck with me, and I did just bust out like ACR sandwich tricks. I do a lot of sandwich tricks when I perform, rubber band stuff, like loads of impromptu, like coin and hand shit, and the people were fucking going, as you can imagine, just standard wedding performances, right? People are drunk, they're seeing cool magic. People were freaking. If I had tried to tell them people they were going to go back in time 30 seconds and they could spend another moment with their dying relative, I would have been the worst magician they've ever seen because they were drunk, they didn't have the attention span. Also, some people don't want to like have that sort of, I don't know, melancholic hope. Don't know if that's the right word, but like that. And they don't want to have to think about, oh, the world is a mysterious place. Some people just want to see a cool trick.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And there's nothing wrong with having all your performances cater towards that type of audience or absolutely adoring that type of trick. Every one of us loves like gimmicks and stuff. It doesn't matter. It is all magic. And sometimes it might sound like we're getting a little bit elitist when we do talk about that stuff, but it's not. It's just different types of magic that we love.
Yeah, it's so true. I am like I love gimmick magic. I love organic magic. I love super visual magic. I mean, that is literally what I like built my career off. It is that brand of magic. You either die a magician or live long enough to become a mentalist. You know what I mean? But so there is a time and a place, and I'm not against. I mean, I still love doing. There's a piece. There's You capture something when you can show someone. Like, I mean, literally show someone magic. Because, and I've spoken about this before, but so many, like, especially magic companies, they'll incorrectly describe visual magic. An example of that is a double lift is turned over. So you show the face, card on top is the 10 of diamonds. You turn the card, secretly double lift, down on top of the deck. When you turn it back over, it's now turned into seven of spades. And what they'll describe it is the magician turns the top card over, turns it around, turns it back over. Now it's visually changed into another card. No, it hasn't.
Hypervisually.
Yeah, it hasn't visually changed. The how it looks visually is different, but they did not see it visually change. And so many magic companies screw this up. And a lot of the magic that we talk about here, like this ACR, this back in time ACR, this whole rumbling thing where they don't see the milk vanish from the tap, they just look down and it's gone, or even like coin on the back of the hand, that's not a visual trick, right? That they see it there after it's there. That is one sort of umbrella category. But there is something to be said about somebody seeing the magic happen. If you can do it in a way which is convincing, where it leaves them with no loop, nothing to exploit in terms of method, or be picked apart, like no frayed edges to the method, then that you do create something very unique, which other elements of magic can't deliver.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, well, yeah. I'm not playing devil's advocate, but I do think that every legitimate area of magic can get jaws to gape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think it's superior. I just think it. I think it has its own little bubble of something which the other
Yeah.
ones can't attain. And like the theory of magic book itself says that in the study they've run and over the however long they've been doing it, they got better reactions when they didn't do visual magic. So I don't believe it's superior, and I don't believe you'll get better reactions. You just have something unique to it, something which, if they really believe what you did was, for real, even if it's just a flap color change, they will what their experience will be. I literally watched that card change. I've seen it happen. I watched the phone go in the bottle. I seen this. I've seen that. I literally saw it with my own eyes. I believe. Seems believing, right?
Yeah, seeing is believing. No, you're spot on. I do agree with you. I do agree with you, and that's why I'm so jealous that you're so bloody good at it.
No. Just think, but like go back to the ambitious card, right? Back in time for a moment. Let's say the friend was this. You bring your phone, you know they're sat on their phone, so they're not going to just get it out of their pocket, or it's somewhere a bit awkward to get. So you see, like, look, I want to show you something in a minute. I want you to write down some information. So write down today's date, write down your name, what's, and you quickly tap your phone. What time is it? Oh, okay, it's 32 minutes past seven. Write down your age currently, okay. Keep hold of that, and this is, and you're writing this, sorry, they're writing this down on a blank billet. You have a stack of billets, right? So now you say, and now what I want you to do is take that stack of billets from over there and count down a couple, like a single digit number amount. All right, we're going to use this as minutes, so they count down, say 5 minutes. Now you turn over their card, you drop that on top of the deck or whatever, and it gets, air quote, buried in whatever way you've done it. Their info card is now in the deck, and what they believe is inside the billet, the stack of billets, but really realistically it's on top. But now you go back in time and do the whole presentation. You can show your phone, you can either show them it visually going back in time, or you can, when you reopen it, it's gone back 5 minutes in time, and then they can check their phone and it'll match that it's gone back 5 minutes in time. And when they turn over the top card, it will now be back on top of the deck and sort of thus move in. It's 5 minutes time. Basically, exactly the same as a card trick, right? But I would assume that they would not categorize that as a card trick. There's no pick a card element, there's no presentation of a card trick, right? This is, you just like write down your info on a business card, which is a normal thing, but a fairly normal thing to do, right? I mean, that's what business cards are there for. You put your info on them. So you put your info on a business card. The only strange thing about it, which is kind of akin to a trick, is placing it down in the stack. But if you have a, if you have better reasoning than just like counting down five or some, I don't know, I'm sure there's a good little phrase that'll make it sound like good and not like a card tricky. But in that whole context, that is a card trick. That's just a single phase ACR with some extra additional elements. But I really don't think they would remember that as a card trick. I mean, I would assume they would. I mean, what would you assume they would remember it as? Like, how would they relay it to a friend?
Time travel trick. That weird
Yeah,
thing he
probably.
did. I don't know, it's hard, isn't it? Without having experienced it, it's hard to think about how you would define it as a spectator or participant. But the thing I mentioned earlier, where it was literally a blank deck of cards, was never a card trick to anyone that I showed it to. They said, like, can you show us that trick again where the ink moves through?
Oh.
So yeah, I don't know what do you think they'd describe it as?
I would hope I'd probably like use some sort of like answer lines. I would hope they would describe it as, we literally went back in time in 5 minutes. It was the spookiest thing. Just that. Like, I don't think. I would hate for them to go, well, I took a card and I wrote my information on it. We put it halfway down in the cards, and then it came back to the top. If that's how they described it, I probably did my job wrong.
Yeah.
I would like them
Well,
to go
yeah.
away going, it was, I can't really describe it. Like, I wrote some info down on a business card, and we just went back in time in 30 seconds or 5 minutes. Fucking bizarre.
Yeah. I like asking someone like, what about what's just happened and getting an emphatic, I don't know.
Yeah, I know confusion isn't magic, but
Yeah.
sometimes there's not a describing word for what they're experiencing.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
Sometimes it's just not the word. You know what it is. You felt it, but there's not that way to summarize it.
Yeah.
But you can still describe, you know what I mean?
I don't even know what I describe that those type of effects as. I always like to think I'm just making little moments, but I don't know.
Maybe you could like actually what's the word? You could give them the word. That how there's certain words in other languages, like Wanderlust in German, or
Right.
there's certain words for like the smell, an old smell that takes you back. Maybe
Yeah.
you could say to them, I'm going to hopefully make you feel a word that you don't even know what it means, but I can explain. You know what I mean? So you give it to them, you gift it to them almost.
Yeah. Well, what was that? Was did it used to be a Tumblr page or just a website? The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows used to have some amazing words to do with stuff.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I used to have the Viz Profanisaurus.
Oh man, Viz. I still love Viz.
Yeah.
Viz is so good.
I actually found mine like 2 weeks ago off my mum's house, the big thick tome of it. I was reading some Decay, and we were absolutely wetting ourselves.
Ah, the omnibuses.
Yeah, it is Profanisaurus. It's a book of dirty words or funny phrases.
I've probably still got that somewhere. You know what? We were talking about books about 2 weeks ago. The book about the guys who made Viz is really good.
Oh, I've never even heard about that.
Yeah, it's
It
really,
always used
really
to make me
good.
think, like, who wrote these things?
Because they were kind of just like little upstart, like, let's do this. Like, that's a pretty cool book. I'll try and find the name of it for you. I've got it here somewhere. And
I'll
definitely
go
look
through
up the
mine.
Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, because it's just strange words that are really, really beautiful.
I will. Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows. That sounds beautiful. So I was going through my mind. I was making a visual back in time trick just by, like if you put like an X mark in the spot on the back of the card in a friction marker,
Yeah.
and then you can introduce an element of visually vanishing and appearing somewhere. I know that's kind of like counterintuitive. Like I wouldn't. I don't know whether making it visual would be the right thing, but just random aside, do you know what I always think is a cool concept that if you put a seashell to your ear, you could hear the ocean?
Dude, like, you know when you're like jamming with a group of magicians and someone brings something up and it's like, how have I never heard of this before?
Yeah.
I try and keep a little list of things where it's like, oh, why have I never heard that, deodorant bottles do that? I wonder how many people know that. I've had seashell on there for so long, thinking there's got to be something that you can do with this weird thing that you did as a kid.
What about like a trick? We could call it the heart of the ocean, or the heart of the sea, right? You say to someone, "I want you to write a letter and put it in a bottle, and I want you to go down to the sea and
I'm
throw the
already in.
bottle into the ocean." Right? So they write a letter and they put it in a bottle. You're somehow going to peek the info, or at least the name of the person they write it to. Yeah. And you could do
Yes.
that just by using like a smart memo pad or whatever the thing they
Yeah.
do, right? So go ahead, write a letter to somebody, make it personal. I want you to take the letter, fold it up, roll it up, wrap this cord around it, wax seal it, put it in a bottle, take that bottle with you to the ocean and throw it in. And we'll meet back here in a week.
Yes.
Then you say, take me to the spot that you threw the bottle in. Obviously, like let's say they wrote like grandma, my grandma was called Audrey. Right, you say, but like obviously they really believe, fuck all about it. So then you just go down to the ocean. You say, and you maybe you spend like half an hour looking for the right thing. You like hold their hand, like you look the, you know, you take a big deep breath to see, and then you pick up a shell, pick maybe a different one, another one, find the right shell, put it to your ear, say Audrey. Pretty wild.
Oh, dude, I got a little bit choked up then. My nan's name was Audrey, my beautiful gypsy queen.
Was it was my nan's name as well?
Yeah?
Wow, we were meant to
Audrey
be.
Keane. Aww.
Audrey Barnes was mine. My nan
Who?
knocked out a gypsy once, out cold, in Spain. It's a true story. Completely sparked it.
Oh, I would I
It's
love
not
that.
even bullshit. It's completely
Oh no, dude,
true.
I believe you. I believe you. Well,
She's
Audreys have a way
Welsh.
of doing stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but that'd be a great. I mean, like again, I don't put it in that category of magic or
Yeah.
mentalism. I'd hope they wouldn't experience it as mentalism.
No. That's the type of stuff that I fucking adore. That's so good. The moment you mentioned it. Message in a bottle. I was like, I'm all in.
It kind of makes sense because there is a good conviction, there's a good reason to write something down.
Yeah.
Write it
And
down, throw it in the ocean, and
dude, you live
then
next to a beach, do it.
I know. Do you know, I've never done a trick with to Kaylee using a smart pad. I don't even have one, and I've always kind of like held off on certain tricks that are really good to not do. Like I haven't shown her. I've got a Glyphs lottery printer. They can print a load of stuff, but it can print lottery tickets. She doesn't know about it. She doesn't know I have it. I even paid 50 quid for the lottery ticket roll as well. She knows actually like fuck all about this. There's so much she does know about, but she knows nothing about this. And I've had it for like, I don't know, 8 months. And I'm literally waiting for the pr I do I really do bide my time with Kaylee on stuff because she when she even though she knows a lot of things, like when she does experience magic, she really like feels it. I don't like to waste that type of opportunity. And
No,
I
it's a
think this is the
gift.
type of trick where if I had the right type of if I had the right type of like metal pad or something that just looked nonchalant as fuck, and then explain to her what's going to happen. I'm not in the room. I want you to just write like a note to somebody. Blah 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 blah. And keep it personal. I could probably cold read half the note anyway.
Yeah,
You
they're
know.
just carbon paper on the underside of something.
I've shown her a carbon paper trick before. She is aware of carbon paper. So I really want to be like, just in case you think it's that tricky before, like if you know, maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, but then the whole spiel of like now you're gonna go out of the house and you're going to the beach, I'm gonna throw that in the water. I'm not fucking kidding. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
Even if you drove
Yeah.
down there, it's too much
Yeah.
to do.
And I want you to record it when you throw it in, but don't show me the video.
Yeah. Dude, that's a good that make yeah, I really want to do it now.
You've got to. I'll come help, right? I'll hide on the beach in disguise and mark the exact spot where I see her throw it in.
I mean, on the right, so this is a cool exercise to do. That the trick, the effect, the performance, that no, the astonishment is good. How can it be better? What can you do to up the ante but not diminish the so many people try and shoehorn in like 3,000 kickers. I'm
Yeah.
not thinking of kickers, but like what could you do to like just be like that little touch extra, like you know, maybe she puts it in a glass bottle and out of the shell. Was a little piece of rounded, beaten up sea glass, you know, that could be the same glass from it. Maybe somehow you find the same piece of like wool string that she's, you know, something just a subtle touch. I remember years ago, there was a Pete Turner routine where he has somebody paint in their mind a landscape or a painting, a picture, and I won't say anything about the trick, but basically, like, you can reveal a beach with a boat on the ocean, with sun in the sky. And I always thought it was a nice touch, like a little thing I added to it, which not I would say I added to it, but like a little presentational thing, which was just you put the prediction in an envelope with just a bit of sand inside. So when you reveal it at the end, you just pull the sand out with it, and it was just a little air. extra element to it, something tangible. I think it's better to give like a subtle nod. Pete McKinnon taught me this years ago, right? He was on about he used to use this, and I got me into it as well, an app called Lens Distortion. And what you could do is put like light flares in your photos. And I still use it from time to time. I actually use it today. And like, the first times I used it, it was like, if anyone's into photography, whenever you find the HDR button or what's called like the definition button now, or the sharpness button, the first like 10 times, or as some people forever, they overdo it. There's even a subreddit called like too much HDR. HDR photography basically done gone wrong. So some people would use it, and I was doing that with the light lens flares. It's such a cool toy to have when you first play with it. And I showed it to Pete, and he was like, "Dude, this is fucking gross." And I was like, "Oh, why? Like, yeah, that looks cool." And then he said to me, the way that he thought about it was that, into the lens flare, is that did it so subtly that the viewer doesn't know it's there, but he knew it was there. So like, it's basically invisible, just totally visible. He could spot it, but they can't. And because he always has this little magic like finish to his photos, and it's like the subtle things. Remember Dan and Dave did a thing about these tables with these close-up pads they were selling, and they were like, it's important that underneath the pad is just as highly made and well made as the top of the pad, because even though you can't see it, we know it's well made there, and you need to know it's well made there. And it's kind of like a subtlety within the context of an effect like this. It shouldn't be on the nose. Whenever I watch a film and they say the title of the film in the film, I think I instantly I'm like, ah. Unless it's a
What
comedy.
are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
Yeah, it's always like, ah, man, did you really just, yeah. Like when magic's on the nose and you have to spell it out to someone, it's kind of gross. If it's a trick like this, I mean, context and timing. But if it's something just a little subtle, like, oh,
What about like a little dry drop of wax, which is the same wax you gave her to seal the letter or something?
oof. Yeah, it's just like, look, don't throw this into the ocean until you've said hello to three crows as you walk by. So people salute magpies, like maybe like when you I want you to salute three crows. It sounds ridiculous, but do it. And then as you go back to the beach, you wait until you see three crows. And when you, because there's always crows on our beach, when you see them, that's when you're like, okay, this will work now. And it's just a little like, oh yeah, it's a strange little oddity, or yeah, like a bit of drop of wax, something.
Any extra step where someone is unsure why they're doing it, but they're still willing to go ahead with it is fun.
You know what would be wild? This would have to be like for a friend and like somebody you know, but they do it. You'd hope they'd send it to somebody who's passed on. Then you go to a family member there and you say, look, I'm trying to create like an amazing experience. This is what's happening, blah, 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 blah. I know they've written a letter to your grandmother, and I want to just sort of help her feel some love. And I'm gonna create this for her. It's using like some sort of magic tricks, but basically I want to just help create this. Can you help me do it? Like, for her, as long as you don't ever give up the ghost, this will be something which will just make it and feel warm and amazing and loved inside. So hopefully they'd agree to it. You can always gauge the right people who've got the right type of families who are like, not dicks. And then maybe you get a copy of the person's handwriting or signature.
All right. Yes.
And this is really on the nose, but then you maybe you say like, you write a short note, dirty up the paper, I love you, Grandma Audrey, from Audrey, whatever, put it in the bottle, in another bottle, make a Facebook post from a fake profile, bottle washed up on the beach, said it's from Audrey, left a bottle near the coffee shop around the back in case it's for someone. I don't know. Something like that, you know what I mean? And then you should leave it. You don't even bring it up again. And you hope that they see it on Facebook, and then they get a letter back.
Dude, I That like combines so many of my interests and what I'm into one. You know, maybe I shouldn't say this. Actually, no, it doesn't really matter because I don't think that there's any crossover. But years and years and years ago, I had this page on Facebook that was to do with paranormal things. And it had like a decent amount of followers and stuff.
What?
But there was one story that I used to post stuff that people would send in, like experiences that people had in different, pubs or a hotel. But I just made one up and put it in there. And the amount of people that I saw like sharing it and talking about it, saying like, I've seen this as well. And then a couple of years after, there was a sign up in a park not far from mine that said, oh, it was like, there was three alien abductions here over the past week. Why aren't the government doing anything? And I saw this and took a photo of it. I was like, that's cool. I'll post that on Instagram. And then I was like, oh man, it would be so easy just to have local newspapers go ape shit over something. I adore those. I adore hoaxes so
Oh.
much.
Well, listen, I don't think this is necessarily a hug. Do you ever? I remember anyway. There was a kid on Blue Peter who had. It's not even a big coincidence because it was just random, but some kid had written like a letter to someone, sent it up in a helium balloon, and it landed in somebody's garden like 300 miles
Yeah.
away. And then the person actually, there was no connection there at all. They just like, oh, found a helium balloon, called the number. They made friends. They're now pen pals. That's kind of a cool thing in the same realm of that. And I would, imagine saying someone, maybe do it in reverse. Maybe a balloon lands in their garden and you don't say anything with a note on it. Wouldn't this be dope, man? Right? If you go around your friend's house and you're like, oh, what's been happening? Blah, blah, blah. How's that? What's the news? What's the weather like? And then they say, oh, a balloon landed in my garden in a week. No way. What was it? Oh, it was a note on there just to with a number to, or an email address that was from some 8-year-old kid in Scotland. Oh, that's cute. Did you write back? No, I didn't. Maybe they did, whatever. Obviously, you are the correspondent email address. But you could then, so instead of them sending a note and you reading what they, or predicting what they said or reading their mind, you now have a third party that you can force stuff with. You're like, oh, did you have an email them or could you email them? And they're like, and hopefully they wouldn't. Maybe it's a mobile phone number, right? Because then they wouldn't be able to remember it. So that they couldn't tell you the number that then you could infiltrate. You're like, oh, there's a mobile number. Oh, when you go home, ask them to think of a playing card. I want to try a magic trick on this stranger. I want to do a long distance card trick. They send you, okay, you talk about 3 o'clock. You go and post that in a letter to the letterbox. Let's say market is, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Well, this is part of like when we first started talking, we were I was telling you about a PDF that I had that was to do with like the long con, and you were like, "Oh yeah, I've got one." This like big nebulous, would you call it magic? Maybe it's magic. Who knows? It's magic to me. There's these big nebulous things where it's about moments and experiences and oh man. That's kind of like part of the reason the podcast exists as well.
Yeah, this is kind of like, yeah, this is like the whole, like, this is like the embers that started the podcast with magic tricks that are not necessarily magic tricks, but they're more like,
Yeah.
I hate to use the word, but they're shared experiences.
Yeah. I bought a deck of cards not too long ago, but they're not cards, they're quite big, but they're cards, and they're called past live cards, past life cards. And I
Okay.
always buy this tack, just this like anything that is a bit like fortune telling or new age, whatever it is, I don't care. It's like material, it's aesthetic stuff. And I was going through these past lives cards and I was like, oh, there's got to be something like absolutely mental you can do to do with past lives and this like experience that isn't a magic trick.
I like what Ricky Gervais said about past lives.
What?
Isn't that he's like
No.
people who think they're reincarnated. It's
Oh.
such bullshit. Like you watch these TV shows or on telly of reincarnation, come dine with me special. And always, there's always two people that turn up as Napoleon.
Yeah. Everyone
Yeah,
was Cleopatra and no one was like, the toilet cleaner.
I was the common whore, and I'm a guy.
Same. Oh, wait, past lives. No, sorry.
That was Wednesday for you. I made that up. I made that up.
That was a bit of what's his name? Raul Julia from Street Fighter. You remember
What?
that? You know
Yeah.
Raul Julia, the Gomez from Adam's Family? He was
Oh
the
no,
bad
I
guy.
don't know the specific. I remember Street Fighter. I don't know the whole like specifics.
Yeah, he was Bison, wasn't he?
Gomez
And
was my thing.
he says, to you, the worst day of your life was like, this, what led you onto your path right now. For me, it was a Tuesday.
Oh man, there's so much food for thought. I knew this was going to be a good one today.
Same. I've had it all, say all my juices saved up, and I've only got it. Even now,
Absolutely swollen with
there's still a
ideas.
couple hours left in the tank, Lloyd.
I just want you to unload all of those ideas all over my like chest and or face.
Okay.
No, well, I mean, we've been going for an hour already. You know what?
I'll carry on practicing idea retention and save some then.
Get to the vinegar stroke and then rein it back in. Salt it
That's
down.
the moral of the episode is edge yourself creatively.
That's a great title for a creative edging.
Oh, that sounds kind of
They took
cool.
the card, they signed the name on it, they placed it in the middle, and then what happens? You put the cards back in
Yeah.
the box.
He said,
I
wait a week and meet me in the pub, you bad boy.
got no idea. The Max Maligny of edging. Vapors leap. Oh God, we just nerded
Jesus.
out now. This is terrible.
Possibly, but I am so in love with those huge, those huge ideas.
Oh yeah, the ideas, huge ideas.
I was trying to be sincere. It was a brilliant idea.
You know, like every week here in Port Call, we on a Tuesday we have a free fireworks display.
Yes.
But not every it's a hol it's a holiday resort,
Yeah.
and not everyone knows about it. And then they have sporadic ones throughout the years, like throughout the year. So like they'll have one, I think like it's the 30th of September. There's another one in the school half term holidays or something like that. But they'll have a few like just scattered around, and I'm just thinking like it would be super cool if you went to a place that wasn't your hometown where you researched and they had something like a fireworks display or da 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 da, right? And you engineer the situation almost to the point where like maybe the person that you're with, it's their decision to go there on that day. Like you make them think it's their decision to go there that day, right? So maybe like, oh, should you fancy going on like a little like caravan holiday, or you know, should you fancy getting away for a few days for a little city break somewhere? Here's a list, pick one and I'll figure it out, right? DFB all the way. I've done that for takeaways before. Not even joking. And so then you do that. And you end up going to this place in the right time, and maybe like you forced a okay, this is too on the nose. This is way too on the nose. But you forced the word fireworks in that context, right? Like the word fireworks happens. Or it'd probably be better if you were like, I don't know. You're like, there's only two times in my life where I felt, you know, love. The first was, and this wasn't romantic love. The first was when I met my dog. I had my dog as a puppy, and I haven't found the second time yet. And then as you walk, take a windy walk together, the fireworks go off. I know, okay, that's stupid, sleazy cheese ball, don't get me wrong. But if you could engineer a situation like that, maybe like in London, there's the Bow Bells. They say you're not a Cockney if you're not born within the sound of the Bow Bells. My grandfather was. If it was something like, you know, this is two on the button again, but they think of a word from the book. The word is chime. And then if you know it's going to be on the hour and you need a chime, you could just say, think of the word, let it repeat yourself, and then suddenly boom, boom. I love these grand ideas that if you take advantage of stuff which you know is going to happen in your environment around you that somebody may or may not know, or
Yeah.
hopefully not fucking know, then it could be amazing.
So good, dude. So good. I had a thing I wanted to do for ages where Liverpool's a port city, and very often we get huge boats that come through the Mersey River. And I used to like looking up the name of the boats that were coming through, and I always thought like this: you force a word, and then you turn around, and it's on the side of the boat.
Oh, me and Katie do this thing all the time where we think of funny names for boats. Because it's in the harbour and there was a boat. So like there's like what's the what? Fucking three of them are called Papillon, which means fucking butterfly. But before I forget, what would be cool to do is if instead, like say for fireworks, instead of say it's they're thinking of the word fireworks, fireworks, like, okay, that's pretty cool. But if instead you're like, I've got a imagine this was kind of the thing. You have a list, you have like a bunch of Polaroids. You're like, look, here's 23 Polaroids. These are all people from my family that have passed away. To give you an example, this is my great 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 grandmother, and she used to be a seamstress for a lady of the manor. She died of frostbite because she got locked out the manor one night. She couldn't get back in, and she died at age 75. And you go through and you just show them all these. Look, they're all different meanings. Pick one out, and for whatever reason, maybe there's some story to it. And then this is a bit ridiculous, but like, and this isn't true. But you say, well, actually, this is. I see you say my grandfather's brother, my great uncle. You picked out my great uncle, Albert, and not Albert. What was his name? I can't remember. Anyway. But he died in World War II. But the thing is that he died in the war. So as you're thinking of this, you say, I want you to imagine, so he died in the war. I want you to imagine how awful that was, or maybe, I don't know, something like that. And then the fireworks start going off. Maybe that's a bit too gruesome. Maybe you could do it in more of a positive light and something that sounds more like, maybe you talk about like, as you were a kid, you wanted to play drums and you used to imagine every, you had what's that folk color synesthesis thing where you
Oh,
see colors?
synesthesia.
Synesthesia. Now, every time I was hit the drums, I would see colors all the time. I want you to imagine a sign and suddenly this firework just start exploding behind them. So it's just basically what I'm saying is like instead of revealing the word, like instead of forcing the thing the word fireworks and then you reveal fireworks, which is a bit too like you use it to convey a different thing, a homonym of sound or vision, basically. Visual audible homonym.
I get you.
I don't know.
I get you. I like that. I like that a lot. I like the idea of saying, oh, so say you're going to meet a friend that you haven't seen for a while. They're in a city abroad somewhere. You're going to Vietnam to meet your mate. And you say, this sounds stupid, but I try and do this every morning. I have like a list of loved ones that have passed on. And each day I'll pick someone and I try and look for a sign, and it's just a way to keep them in my mind, keep them in my memory. Every day I look for a sign from one of them, and you have them pick someone that aligns with something that's going to happen. The name Albert is actually, the name of a pub that you go into a bit later that they don't know about.
Oh wow. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, maybe like oh Albert always said to keep an eye out for a white feather. Well, that means a war dodger. Keep an eye out for a crow's feather or something, that would be a symbol that he was there. And maybe you go and put a crow's feather behind the bar or something. You literally could say, when I come in later, put this crow's feather behind the bar. And then you use a way to A Google, there's a, I think you can get a Google Map force an app some in some context and all. Let's pick a random pub. You go for it. Go there. All right, cool. Go to there. Like, oh, this is so strange. The Albert pub. What the fuck? Are you like, and then you're sitting there. You're like, you're not gonna believe this. What did I say to look out for? You told me to look out for crow's feather. You're pointing is the crow's feather over the bar, like stuck to the wall of even.
Dude, I absolutely love pipe dream stuff, but then it comes down to the fact where pipe dream stuff is never like marketable, so it's always something you do yourself and you share with other magicians. Like, imagine you make this like fake app. Do you remember Randonautica? It would give you a random location within like a 10-mile range, so people would use it and be like, will just click that. You have to manifest. You focus on what you want to do today, and it manifests your thoughts and gives you like a random location. It's like, oh, that's a hill I've never walked up before. We'll go there.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
You could force like locations with something like that. Or what if you just like forced a number and then you were like, let's just put it into Google Maps as the coordinates.
Oh, yeah. You could use what three words?
Oh yeah, that's so much better. Yeah.
I don't want to say, well, I think he was selling at Blackpool, so it's kind of open. But Harry, Lord Harry, Harrington, has a what three words trick word I think could probably force with using the same thing. But yeah, what three words would be able to force an exact location
Yeah.
to do that?
That, oh, that would be so cool.
You
And
remember
it's
that whole interactive TV trick where you'd have like 8 or 16 squares on the screen and Cop Kill was like, now move to the closest green square. Now da da da. But imagine do that with a map and you in a certain area where you knew the pubs were like in on corners or bars or restaurants or coffee shops, whatever. And you're like, oh, I got given this funny thing to play. It was a stupid dare, but like wherever we go, we have to like go to the first shop that with the instructions. So we have to go to the first left. Take a left and walk along the street. Okay, let's do that. You know, and in fact, you can just write the directions out. You don't even have to force it. You know what I mean?
Now I'm thinking about stuff you could do with maps to force. We're imagining this big map and they cut it at a certain place. Or
It'd be so
you
cool
could
if you
do.
took a fake menu in. You know, as you sat down, you place a fake menu, and on that fake menu, it's got like a black crow's feather, da da da, and then it said like it says 2 for 1 cocktails between 5 and 8. Tell them Albert sent you, or
Oh
something. You know what I
yeah.
mean? You know, oh,
The
what
Albert
the fuck?
special. You
Yeah.
could have like a laminated map with a somewhere pre-marked, and you do that all dried out like Sharpie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
Or
I
you could
love.
literally just be like walking down the street and you're like, oh, are you hungry? Should I just get food? This is the restaurant. What's going on here? Don't even point out the name. You know, sit down for ages and then you're like, oh, look at that. There's a crow's feather there. But I never see those around. And you're like, that's strange. And anyway, carry on the food. Wait for them to spot the name of the pub. Or the I keep saying pub, I don't even really restaurant.
I love this. I love that. I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe they do, and I just don't pay attention. But I never see very many people talking about this type of stuff, like this weirdly amazing romantic magic.
It's because it's so hard to perform because you only really get one shot of it. It's a lot of prep work for one thing. But if you're not a gigging magician and you're only interested in like creating this type of thing, it's ideal.
Yeah, that's true. I forget that sometimes that I don't have to rely on. Yeah, that's a very good point. Pipe Dream Podcast.
But yeah, this is what yeah we did. We even consider calling it the Pipe Dream Podcast at one point.
Probably.
I think we did. We had a huge list of like 200 names. The Pipe Dream Podcast, but there's so many pipe dream type tricks I'd love to do. I wonder if you could do. Oh, you know, it'd be such a good trick.
Spit it out.
Hard to shoot, but on a pair of shoes that's been wrapped around a phone line. You know, when you go through like the
Oh
hood.
man,
Oh. The estate, and there's a pair of shoes being tied with the laces, and they've been thrown over a telephone line. So you force someone like a maybe you force them a card. You look at angle zero type thing, right? Whatever, and then I don't know what the reason would be. Maybe you just do like you throw the cards up in the air towards it, or you show yourself placing that card into the shoe in a video. You say, watch this video. This is going to blow your fucking mind. And you say, hey guys, and this is like, well, you wouldn't say it like a presenter. It'd be like, in a week from now, you're going to pick this card. You've picked it. It doesn't actually exist. And I'm going to prove it to you. Watch, I'm going to tear the corner off. I'm going to keep it. You're going to have this later on. I'm going to pick this card, put it in a shoe. This shows you like time lace and lobbing them over this phone line. And then you perform it. So then you're like, right, the card, your card that vanished. It is in that shoe. You've got the receipt. Live with it. And then it would go down as legend because some kid would get it down. They might have to go weeks, they might have to call friends, family, they might have to get like step ladders and some shears that cut, garden bushes or something, chop laces. Somebody would get those sh the fucking the curiosity would eat them alive until they did it. Maybe you don't put it somewhere, something. So I just like the idea of doing card issue, but on a phone line. I think that's cool.
I love that. Or do something with like geocaching. You know, this is it's same, but different. Years ago, I used to live in the city centre, and I was walking home from work once, and I saw graffiti on the wall that said "John's a nonce," which made me laugh, obviously, because I think it's funny calling everyone a nonce.
I think it's funny to call them jaunts.
John's, but my friend Johnny was coming around the next night with his girlfriend to go for a drink,
Who
so I
happened to
made
be
sure.
six and he was a nonce.
No. I made sure we walked
No,
past that
she's
and then
me.
said, "Let's take a selfie." And then in the pub,
Yeah.
showed them the picture where it had John's and Nonce in the background. So same, but different.
So good.
All of it just
That's
exists
so
in the
good.
same realm, doesn't it? It's like reality manipulation.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool to show? Well, I don't know if this is too bullshitty. Not bull, I don't know. But like, say I say to you, go back to the car to shoot. I'm recording you. Today is Monday. It's not actually Monday, but like, let's just say today's Monday. Look, Jake, I'm recording this. What you do is take a card out of the deck, okay? Don't look at it. I want you to tear a corner off that card. Don't look at it. Place the big part of that card into the shoe. But before you do, look away and show it to the camera, okay? Place it in the shoe. Now I want you face down on the sole so that you can't see it. Tie this together. Throw the shoe or whatever it's going to be, like in a bottle or something, over the line, and hold on to that corner. I'll see you in a week, and you come back a week later, and it's just the time to make it feel bigger, right? As a shoe in, and then you say, right, I'm going to show you something cool now. Take a card out of the deck, and what I want you to do is tear a corner off it, and watch. And then you make the card vanish, a la whatever, Erd Maze, Armin, whatever. Now it's gone. And you say, I want to show you something. You looked at the card this time, right? Okay, it was the Queen of Diamonds. Cool. Watch the video. Then it shows you a week ago taking the Queen of Diamonds out. Tearing the corner off, you don't even know it's the queen. You place it in the shoe, it goes over the thing, and you're left holding a corner. And then you say, if you ever manage to get the shoe down, that will be the Queen of Diamonds in that shoe that you chose last week, that you just tore. No. Some cr I don't know, it would just be, I don't even know sure what the effect is, but it would just be an absolute mind fucker.
You know what's nice about it? It combines the two options that sometimes, I think Pete Turner has a few tricks that use the whole and if you want to carry on believing in magic, you can lift up the card and see if I was right. No, sorry, you don't lift up the card and see if it was right, but if you can't resist, then look. And that kind of combines both the approaches because they're not going to be able to get to it straight away either way. That's fun. Oh, I love that. Make the participant work for the answer.
I just think it used to be a trick for post-mentalism by Arvo Stockman, and I think it's like 20 years old now, so it's not really giving it away, but what the method was that this participant would send themselves a letter, and they would literally send themselves a letter, and then you would say like name any word, and they'd say like elephant, and then the letter arrives, and you predicted in the letter whatever. Oh no, this is the effect. I would say I'm going to write a prediction, put it inside an envelope. What's your address? I write the address on the envelope, and I give it to them. They post it. After they've posted it, I then say think of any random. Whatever it wanted to be, they say like elephant, cat, dog, helicopter. 3 days later, it arrives in the mail, the exact same letter. You open it up and it says, and you got it. And the method is this type of ink which vanishes over 24 hours. So the first letter never actually arrives anyway because it's got no address on it. And then you secretly write another letter, identical, and send it. But I was just thinking, you could do something similar, but instead of having this disappearing ink, you could just use. You could just put a stamp on it that where the glue falls off pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, you could like literally, as you're there, you could like, okay, look, you this is on there. This is the letter. You hold the stamp and pinch it on your fingers. Literally, then as you put it in the post box, just flick the stamp off it because they won't deliver it without a stamp.
But you just print a fake stamp. Like
Do they have to
a
scan stamps?
what, sorry?
Do they have to scan stamps? Is it like a QR code to like say that it's real?
Well, if they're just putting it into a post box, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
I don't, oh
yeah.
yeah, I
But if
don't
the
know.
postman thinks it's a real stamp, I don't know. But yeah,
Yeah.
either way, it's just an extra method just to have the stamp come off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could even have a magnet under the stamp, but stick it on because sides of post boxes are often magnetic, so the stamp wouldn't come off the stick, you know, and the magnet would take it off.
Oh, that's
And then you can
fun.
just send another letter. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
Oh, I love this. Yeah,
the
I'm not
idea
going to be
that
able to
just picking
sleep
a
tonight.
card game. I love the concept of having them have a piece of video footage evidence that like ruins the method in their head. Like just like what the hell? You know?
Yeah. You've suggested that for a few things I've like floated the idea of, and it was always such a good suggestion.
Yeah, it's something there which is going to be brilliant somewhere. But anyway, man, I think that's enough food for thought for one episode. I'm like hungry from
Yeah.
spilling all the stuff.
Spilling
Oh.
your the creative seed.
My froth.
Also,
My
a bit
creative froth poison.
apologies to anyone who was hanging on it for 5 p.m. Wednesday release. That hasn't happened because it's 8 p.m. on a Wednesday right now.
Oh yeah. Apologies, y'all. We're a few hours behind, but we're doing it. We're here.
Yeah, man. Let's go.
Okay, I'm gonna try and roll the outro music this time because it didn't roll at the beginning, so there's like 6 seconds and now. So I didn't press the share sound button. This should work now. So anyway, next week is episode 25. We need to do a reader's maybe on the 26th episode of the 6 month we'll do a reader's question special.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
I'll start asking people to send questions and stuff in.
Oh, I love stuffing.
Stuff in. We've got a decent bank of questions already, but there's you can never have enough.
Oh yeah, we had loads, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Well, thank you all for tuning in. This has been episode 24. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Duke.
See y'all in the next episode of the Black Art Podcast.
Peace. Lloyd's a nonce.
Oh, you said it. How do I stop recording?